Broadcasting from Lockport, New York, it's time for The Dads Must Be Crazy. Just three guys raising kids and currently hiding from them in an undisclosed tool shed to talk about parenting, pop culture, and penguins. Or something else that starts with a P. It's Craig, the stay-at-home dad historian and hockey enthusiast. Howie, the stay-at-home dad who used to be a reporter when journalism was a thing. And Bobby, the retired Army vet, Trekkie, and gamer, helping to raise three kids in beautiful Western New York. Now, here's the dads.
Welcome to the Dads Must Be Crazy. I am Craig, joined by Howie.
Hello.
And Bobby.
Howdy.
Hope you're feeling better. I know you weren't feeling too well the last couple days.
Oh, no. I had a sinus infection last night, or yesterday. I woke up and I started coughing up a lung and everything else, and I was like,
You wanted to rip the front of your face off so you relieve the pressure?
Pretty much. I turned into a typical male, you know, who gets sick.
Man flu.
Yeah. Turns everything is man flu. Stub toe, man flu. Gets a scratch, man flu. You know, needs intensive care, needs wife to make him chicken noodle soup and keep him in bed so he can watch TV all day. You know, just turns into a big baby. So
I had that issue once. I tend not to get sick, but when I get sick, I get super sick.
Yeah, that's me.
So in December of 2015, and Howie will remember this, because I was supposed to be at the Star Wars premiere, and I couldn't because I was residing at Lockport Hospital. So for about a week, I was not feeling well, and I thought I had the flu. So they tell you when you have the flu to drink a lot of water. So I was hounding water back as fast as I could drink it. And what I didn't realize is if you have pneumonia, and I didn't know I had pneumonia, don't drink that much water. Because your body's already so worn out, your kidneys will say, screw this, I'm not going to work either. And that's what happened to me. So I started not feeling well like on Friday, and by Monday I was really not feeling well. And then Tuesday, I was supposed to take one of the girls to dance. I said, I can't take the girls to dance. And Wendy was really angry with me. She thought I was faking it. And she got mad at me. She stayed in the other room. She was that mad at me. She goes, well, just sleep in there then, in our bedroom. One of like three nights that we've been in the same house but not slept in the same bed since we've lived together. Three nights.
Wow.
Wednesday morning, she gets up at 5 o'clock. The alarm goes off at 5 o'clock. By 5:30, she wasn't out of bed yet. She lets it run on the snooze. I said to her, you know what? You got to take me to the hospital. I can't breathe. And she goes, really? I'm like, yeah, you got to take me to the hospital. And I never, I only go to the doctor when she makes me and when I get sick.
Well, I'd avoid the doctor, too, if, you know, I'm going to get my prostate checked once a year.
So she takes me over to the emergency room, which is interesting that this is not where I was going to start with, but interesting, it's going to flow into right where we're talking about. And they put me in a bed, and when I walked in, I said I was having a hard time breathing. I'm sick with something. And what it was is I had pneumonia and was pressing on, my lungs were pressing on my heart, and I couldn't get enough air into my lungs to begin with. So that combined, I was like, I could barely breathe. So when you go into an emergency room and say you can barely breathe, it doesn't matter what, unless someone's losing their life in the emergency room, they're taking care of you. Yeah. They're going to put you right in. You know, they triage. Well, so I'm sitting in there laying in the bed, and they go, well, your fluids are very low. We're going to put some fluids into you. You probably have the flu. So that first bag, I don't think the nurse had walked away before he had to turn around and that bag was empty. I mean, my body sucked it all up because I had urinated it all out, all that water I had been drinking. My kidneys were just said, just get rid of it, just get rid of it, get rid of it, get rid of it. There was no stop. So when they did the intravenous stuff, I actually kept the fluid in. So they started me on a second bag. And meanwhile, there's a woman on the other side of the curtain from me, and she's throwing a fit because she's looking for that work excuse. And I'm sure that you're aware of that goes on.
I've heard stories.
Yes.
Yeah, she just wants to get in and out with a doctor's note so she can avoid work for however long.
Right.
I've heard stories from doctors and pharmacists. So, yeah, but continue.
Malingering. That is the word.
Is it?
That's what we call it in the Army.
So she was complaining that I was getting help first, and she had been there for 2 or 3 hours. And it, you know, it's like 6 o'clock in the morning. So then the doctor came in and goes, you know what? I don't think you have the flu. This is after the nurse was fantastic. It was a male nurse, and he goes, it's probably man flu. We've all had that this week. There's a little bug going around. I'm like, all right, but you know what? When I get sick, I don't normally come to the hospital. I'm not a hospital guy.
Yeah, most guys will admit, yeah, it might be the man flu or whatever. Although last year, at one point, I did have the legitimate flu. Even my wife pointed that out. But most guys, if we get sick, we'll be like, oh, we're terrible, but we still go through it. I mean, we
right.
run to Rite Aid, get your medication.
Can you get me a drink, please?
That reminds me of another story, but still, continue.
So the doctor came in and goes, I don't think this is the flu. You know what? Let's get a shot of your lungs. Your lungs don't sound right. So they took me back to this big machine, and as soon as you lay back, you got to lay flat. I'm coughing like crazy because that's just what happens. You just start coughing. And he goes, yeah, we're barely going to get this, but you're going to come out. You're going to have pneumonia. So he goes through the whole thing. They come back and they go, yeah, you have pneumonia. We're admitting you to the hospital. I'm like, all right. Like, I've never had pneumonia before. I remember my sister had it, but they gave her medication. She went home. I know other people have had it. They give her medication and go home. You're putting me in the hospital? So then you saw him. Did you come and visit or no?
I did not.
Well, George came and goes, I thought you were dead, man.
I don't like hospitals unless I have to be there.
And I had 3 out of 4 lobes of my lungs, because there's upper and lower on both lungs, were affected with 90% pneumonia problems.
Yeah, that ain't good.
No, it was really bad. You know, they had the breathing mask on me all the time. It was, and if you're going to the hospital, don't expect to get rest.
No.
Because every 2 hours they're going to check you. Plus, because I had pneumonia, I had to take the breathing test where you had to blow into this thing. And
I did that years ago when I was being tested for asthma, but yeah.
So during the day, I had the same nurse doing my breathing test, but on the midnights was this MILFy woman who came in and woke me up at 3 o'clock, 3:30 and 5:30 every morning. I'm like, okay, time for my breathing test.
Which was, I guess, your code for sponge bath.
I was in the hospital for a week. So I go in on Wednesday and I think, oh, if maybe I'll get out Friday. I'll spend all Wednesday, all Thursday, because they said Thursday you're not going home either. Friday. All right. Doctor will come in and he'll release me. The doctor's not back until Monday. So Friday comes around and goes, yeah, we're going to need to keep you a little longer because your O2 stats when you are off the breathing, off the oxygen, fall dramatically. You can't go. So I have to suffer through Saturday and Sunday. And then so this is the week before Christmas, by the way.
This
so
is the opening week of The Force Awakens is
I
what
get,
it was.
I go in the hospital on the 18th. And I get out on the 23rd. So I was at 5 days, 6 days, however you want to count that. So I was early enough on the 18th and late enough on the 23rd. So I had to go to the doctor's afterwards for a follow-up to my regular doctor. So I have the doctor's appointment on Christmas Eve. Another terrible time to go to the doctor. There's never really a good time to go to the doctor. But it's a pretty terrible time to go to the doctor.
No. Let's put it this way. There are, I guess you could call it, ebbs and flows in terms of like high traffic volume time to go to the doctor. That's not the best time to go to the doctor.
Right. So have you guys had pneumonia before?
No.
No.
It knocks the snot out of you. I was tired all the time. So I get out of my doctor's appointment on Christmas Eve and Wendy goes, well, we need to run over to Walmart to grab a couple small things. Just a couple small things to finish off. I'm like, all right. She goes, can you think you can go? I go, yeah, I can go. Thank God they had benches around the store, because I'd walk and I'd not walk very far and I'd sit down and I was like, I was done. And she'd do some shopping. She'd come and get me. We'd go to another spot of the store and I'd find a bench and I'd sit down. And our nephew was supposed to come over that day, because I think that year was an odd year. So that meant that my family had Christmas Eve. My family was out of town. So it was basically nobody coming over to the house on Christmas Eve. Christmas Day was the big to do. And our nephew was going to come over on Christmas Eve just to hang out, because he was going to his girlfriend's house or whatever for Christmas Day rather than hanging with the family. So we got home probably around, I don't know, 2:30, and he's supposed to come over at 4 o'clock. I said, I'm just going to take a nap for half an hour or so on the chair. So I laid down in the chair. I slept. I woke up. It's 8:30 at night. I go, I thought Derek was coming. Wendy goes, Derek was here. We made dinner. We cleaned up. We opened presents. He's gone. I had no idea. And we always have a New Year's Eve party. I was in bed by 8:30. Frank Vecchio came and picked me up. We had the week after Christmas, the hockey team had a Christmas party. And it was at Lock 34. And he goes, do you still want to come? I said, yeah, I'll come hang out for a little while. So he came and picked me up, and we went out to the Lock 34, and obviously I can't drink alcohol.
No.
So I'm sitting there drinking Pepsis or Cokes or whatever, and we ate. Food was fantastic, and I hadn't been eating much because just don't feel like eating. And probably an hour and a half into it, and now you know that when I was out with those guys, I was good for all-nighters.
Right. I'm aware.
So an hour and a half into being with these guys, I'm like, yeah, someone's got to take me home. So Dave Rose brought me home. And Wendy goes, you're already home? I said, yeah, I got to go to bed. I lost 15 pounds in 3 days. It was bad.
It's probably a substantial amount of water weight, too.
Right. And the doctor and the nurses go, do you smoke? And I go, no, I've never smoked a day in my life. I've never smoked ever. Well, do you? Like, no, I don't. I don't vape. I don't smoke. I exercise kind of regularly. Well, how the hell did you get pneumonia that bad? I think I actually started out with like a flu, and that weakened me enough.
It maybe. I don't know.
So then they're going to test me for Legionnaires because I work in an old building.
Right.
And I'm thinking, oh boy, that means they're going to go over the building and test. But when they did the test on me, they showed none of the whatever that bacteria is.
I wouldn't know.
Yeah. So yeah, that was my Christmas of 2015.
You missed a great movie.
I did.
At the drive. I mean, look, and people can poo-poo, you know, the current trilogy of Star Wars all they want. The Force Awakens was a great reinvigoration of the franchise. It was really a lot of fun. So we're going to continue on this trend of discussions like hospital visits and such?
Sure.
I've been pretty fortunate in my life. When I was really young, I had to go in for, like, not quite a hernia.
Me too.
It was called something else, so they took care of that, and I was there in the morning and back home in the evening.
I had the same thing. I was like 4.
I was, I think, 10 or 11. Since that time, the only time I can recall having to go to the emergency room, I want to say it probably happened. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm saying only time I remember for sure, but it might have also happened because of wrestling. But I was trying out for the baseball team in high school, and the one thing I've always been able to, I like to tell myself anyway, the only thing I've ever been able to truly do in baseball is hit. Fielding, take it or leave it, right? So it's for JV, and the JV coach has the pitching machine ramped up. It looked like 85, 90 miles an hour. No JV pitcher in his freshman or sophomore year is going to be throwing that fast, right? So the guy says to bunt the first 5. So I square around the bunt, and I miss all 5. And I could see that he's doing everything he can not to laugh at me and tell me to get out of the batting cage. So then he says, all right, just swing away. So I swing terribly. I missed the first one, second one. I'm like, all right, fine. I got the timing down. I'm going to swing real early for this next one. I swung so early that by the time my hands got to where the ball was crossing the plate, my hands hit the ball ahead of the bat. And the ball hit me right where my left wrist met my hand. So it kind of like hit everything. It hurt a lot. Broke the skin, everything. I go in, no broken bones, which I was happy about. But it was significant bruising. I didn't make the team. They just wrapped it up, and I went to the high school dance that night, and people were looking at me like, what the hell happened to you? I'm like, I got hit by the pitching machine, and they just started laughing at me.
But, so I was 42 when I went into the hospital for the first time since my birth for an overnight stay. So if it's another 42 years before I go back again, I'm fine with that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, like I said, it was that thing for my wrist, and I want to say it probably happened again a year or so later in wrestling, and I wound up with bruised ribs. But I don't remember if I went to the hospital for that, or that was basically just told by the athletic trainer after one match. He goes, yeah, these are bruised ribs. I'm like, okay, fine.
Did you keep wrestling?
I stopped after my sophomore year. We discussed this when my brother was here.
Did you continue wrestling with the bruised ribs, though?
No, that match was over.
There was no more matches after that?
That probably might have been it. There might have been one or two more matches that year, but that
I wrestled with broken fingers. That's how I won my first match. Because the guy pulled on, I had two fingers taped together. He pulled on them, and it made me angry.
I mean, when you shove fingers in someone's bunghole.
That's not
while
what I was
you're
doing.
Wrestling. I'm just saying.
Yeah, no.
I think I was slapping his head.
It's possible. I've had more trips to the hospital as an observer than a patient. Which I'm okay with, but if I don't have to go to the hospital, I don't want to go to the hospital.
I avoid the hospital at all costs.
When my wife and I only had one child.
I have never had that.
That's true. No, with our firstborn, my wife was still in residency. So residencies, you know, doctors who are in residencies now compared to what it was like 25, 35, 40 years ago, it is a different ball game altogether. They still are run ragged, and I don't know how they do it, but they do. And for the people on, well, I'm not gonna go down that rabbit hole of people saying I've done the research, but whatever. My wife got home from being on call, and I said, "Look, Alex doesn't seem right. He won't go to sleep. He's complaining about his ear." And my wife said, "Well, just call so and so, and he'll send in a prescription." I'm like, "That's great, but this is a 1 or 2 year old. That person doesn't typically see kids this young. I think we should go to the pediatric emergency room that's a mile and a half away, because I'd rather be safe than sorry. I don't want somebody prescribing the wrong dosage for our son." "Well, it's just this, and I'm sure he just needs a penicillin or amoxicillin or whatever." I'm like, "I'm sure you're right, but I want the dosage accurate." So I get to the ER, and Alex is so out of it because he had an ear infection. But his eyes were rolling back in his head because he was so exhausted, but he couldn't sleep because of the pain. And I told the doctor who saw him, I'm like, "Listen, he's like this right now because he hasn't been able to sleep and take a nap because his ears hurt so much. So can we just verify that it is an ear infection and that you can prescribe him the medication?" So that's what wound up happening. It was fine. You know, insurance through the ER we went to, it was an affiliated ER with the hospital where my wife was a resident. So everything, you know, cost-wise worked out very well. Thankfully for him, really the only time he's ever been at an ER, my son, although I want to say earlier this year, late last year, he went in because he had another issue, but some IV fluids, and apparently he was fine, but I kind of missed that trip. Meanwhile, my 10-year-old, she's the one who's actually had x-rays and taken and whatever. And at one point when she was 2, she was walking around, she had a cast on her left arm because I had gone to the bowling alley. It was the opening night of league bowling in 2011. And
You've been bowling for that long?
Yeah.
You're not any better than you are?
No. I was getting better. Then they switched from hardwood lanes to synthetic lanes, and I'm just finally catching back up. Although 2 weeks ago, we're not even going to talk about how bad I was.
I beat you by 50 pins, and I had a terrible night.
I had a game that was under 100, so it was bad. It was bad. But bowling starts at 7, as you're well aware. I get a text message at about 7:30 from my wife wanting to know whether or not I'm done yet. I text her back. I'm like, "Everything started at 7. I'm still in the tail end of my first game. What's going on?" And she lets me know that something happened with Tegan, and she's not holding her arm right now. Sure enough, Tegan didn't want to go to bed. Tegan ran away. Tegan fell down. Okay. This was on a Wednesday. All day Thursday, Tegan is...
She only had been like 2.
She was 2. Yeah. All day Thursday, Tegan is walking around with her left arm not moving at all. It is like, without being in a splint, it's essentially strapped to her side. She's not moving it. It obviously hurts. Most of the day Friday, same thing. Then I get a phone call from my wife. She says, "Yeah, you need to take Tegan up to Children's right now." I'm like, "Why? You already got her an x-ray because you guys thought that she did something to her shoulder." And she's like, "Well, she's not moving it. Somebody called and told me that it's actually not her shoulder. It's her elbow." Nobody thought to look at her elbow because the way she fell and she was holding her arm, was it
nursemaid's elbow?
It was a radial head fracture. So basically, so it had just kind of split off. It wasn't like a clean... broken in half. It was like...
It was a crack,
yeah. I was trying to think of the best way to describe it on a podcast, but it's impossible to do in whatever. So it was a crack. So we go up to Children's, right? They put her in a cast. And for the next couple weeks, people would say, "So Tegan, what happened to your arm?" And her response was hysterical and made everybody laugh and look at my wife. And she's like, "Nope, wasn't me." Tegan would be like, "What happened to your arm?" "Well, mommy broke my arm." "Mommy did not break your arm. You ran away from mommy when it was time for bed and you tripped and fell."
She fell into the doorknob.
Well,
remember those?
Yeah, stories like that. This is not that story, but that is what happened. And Tegan, at one point earlier this summer, I told her to do something. I asked her to do something. I asked her to do something a second time, and I asked her to do something a third time. She wasn't doing it. Finally, I got upset and I yelled at her and I told her, "You need to do this." So she got up, and you guys have been to my house. So she's sitting on that big red couch, right? She stomped around the couch, went up the two steps.
To the kitchen?
To the kitchen. Kept stomping, threw something away, put something away, and then started stomping back down the steps. And in the process of going down those two steps, she tripped. And she landed on her wrist funny. So she was complaining about it, said it really hurt a lot. That afternoon, we had to go get her an x-ray. And sure enough, She had a buckle. She broke her wrist. It was a buckle fracture, so it wasn't hard enough to put into a plaster cast, but it was enough to put into...
She had
into,
a wrist guard thing on, didn't
yeah, she had one of those like immobilizing wrist metal type things. And my wife, all she heard was falling downstairs. And she goes, yeah, Tegan fell down the stairs. I'm like, no, Seth, she fell down over there. She goes, she tripped... Tegan, we started making fun of her, and I told Tegan, like, this is terrible. She goes, why? I'm not sure about you guys, but if our kids are hurting or in pain, and it's not something we actually did or caused or anything like that, you don't want to see that, right? So you try to get them to smile and to lighten up. So as I'm driving Tegan to go get her x-ray, she's upset and whatever. I go, let me see your hand. And she lifts it up. I go, this is, can you go like this? And I'm like putting my fingers out different ways. And she goes, yeah, why? I'm like, no, can you go like this? And she couldn't do it. I go, this is terrible. She goes, why? I go, now you can't go to the nose picking competition that I signed us up for next weekend. And she just started laughing and goes, you're an idiot. I'm like, well, at least your sense of humor is still intact, right? So, no, but Tegan's had more brushes with health scares and everything else, or bones and broken bones and stuff like that. Raina, so far, we've been pretty lucky. Like I said, hospital visits just aren't my cup of tea. I don't like doing it. I've taken Tegan to get x-rays multiple times, but fortunately, we've kind of avoided major issues.
How about you over there? I know you've been to the emergency room.
Yes.
You have been to the emergency room.
I spent 20 years in the Army. I have been to the emergency room.
And they just and gave sometimes you the emergency room, and say, get out of here, right?
Sometimes the emergency room is a tent and sand blowing in.
Yes, sometimes.
No, I was saying they probably gave you ibuprofen and said, okay, you're set.
Motrin and water, you know, typical fix. But no, the last time I went to the emergency room, so a little backstory is I'm allergic to shellfish, right? Which is really sad because I really do like shrimp and lobster and that kind of stuff. So I didn't eat shellfish for 13 years. And then miraculously, I figure out I'm not allergic to shellfish anymore at this particular time. And I'm like, sweet. So I go on a bender. Everything shellfish I can eat, I just shove in my body for like 10 months. I'm just, oh my God, it was so fantastic. So I was taking my wife out to lunch, and we went to Olive Garden, and I had some...
Holly's favorite place. He learned how to come to French on Olive Garden.
I'm guessing you didn't listen to that part yet. Okay, yeah, anyway, continue.
But I had some shrimp pasta thingy, and I think there was like a clam sauce in it as well. And so we get home, everything's fine, and then about 3 hours later, I'm like, why am I starting to itch and turning red and starting to have a hard time breathing and all this other stuff? And I was like, maybe I got something on me. I'll take a shower. So I took a shower, a hot one. Wrong answer. Because I got out, and now I'm puffy, and I look like Sylvester Stallone in his 70s with the whole big puffy face. And I'm like, this is not good. I'm like, sweetie, we have to go to the emergency room. And she looks at me. She goes, you think? And I was like, just get me there because I'm having a difficult time breathing. So I take a little bit of Benadryl before we go. And I get there and I'm sitting and I'm waiting for like an hour. And they're like, so you're having difficulty breathing? I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, I'm continuing to swell and itch. So they finally get me back into a room and they're looking at me. And they're, you know, poking and prodding, and they're like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm okay for now. And they started giving me this medication along with Benadryl to counteract the reaction.
Violet, you're turning violet, Violet.
Yeah, I know, right? So they walk outside of the room they've got me in. They leave the door open, and I hear them in the back, and they're like, yeah, his throat's starting to close up. We might have to trach him. And I was like,
no!
I was like, no. And they were like, well, we may have to trach you. And I'm like, look, dude. So I pulled a, you know, I still look like Sylvester Stallone. And so just cracking a joke, I was like, I never broke the law. I am the law. You know, and I did the whole face thing and they started, you know, dying laughing. And they're like, well, at least you have a sense of humor about it. I'm like, you are not stabbing me in the throat, you know, and some other choice words in there because this is a military hospital at Fort Hood, Texas. And so, I mean, ultimately, you know, I was fine. They kept me there until almost midnight. I was there from 3 o'clock. I was there for 9 hours. Like, and the reaction had stopped like 4 hours prior to midnight. But they're like, we're going to watch you just in case it flares up again before we send you home. And so that was my last trip to the emergency room. But I mean, I've broken my left arm, my right arm, my left wrist, along with dislocating it. I've blown out an ACL. I mean, I screwed up my knee playing baseball, so I went to the emergency room for that. I got hurt playing soccer, went to the emergency room for that when I was a kid. I mean, and then in the Army, I mean, people get hurt left and right. I mean, so most of the time I would just go to, you know, the unit, you know, medic or physician assistant and get checked out and then go on about my business. Like, look, this hurts. I need you to fix it or give me some medication so I can go back and you know, perform my duties.
Put a little ice on it, yeah.
So. And they're like, okay. And so you just, you know, get your slip and then you go back to work with your medication. You just kind of power through it because it's the mentality of being in the military. And then when you retire and you get out, you're like, dang.
All those aches and pains that you were they were hiding for you come rushing back.
Absolutely. And so every day you wake up in the morning and the first thing you do or the first sound you hear when you get out of bed is snap, crackle, pop.
Yeah.
Because that's what your back, your knees, your neck, your shoulders, your elbows, your ankles, all of it. Everything's just cracking. And you're like, oh, my God, that hurts so bad. But I mean, the easiest way to counteract that is to, you know, do some sort of physical activity. So, you know, I do karate and then I work out. So that kind of helps stave that stuff off, which is fantastic. But I mean, my kids have gone to the emergency room for nursemaid's elbow, for cutting their finger, you know, with a knife pretty deep. We've had allergic reactions to peanut butter because I've got two that are peanut and tree nut allergies to those. But we found out they were allergic when they were eating it. Like they weren't allergic. And then they ate a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and then we found out they were allergic. So it wasn't like we knew they were allergic and they got into something. So, yeah, we've had our fair share of emergency room trips.
How does that work with the peanut allergies or whatever allergies they have? Because you guys have them kind of tested regularly, I would assume. Because those numbers can change. You can lose some allergies and gain others.
Well, my son is pretty much allergic to peanuts, tree nuts, eggs, and some other stuff. I just like to say planet Earth, but his allergy is actually not as bad as it used to be. So he used to be like a 4 on things, which is significantly high. And now he's down below 2 on everything. So his allergies seem to be going away. So the next thing for us to do is to get our daughter tested again, who's allergic, and see if her numbers are coming down. Now, it could just be like what happened to me. What the doctors think is I didn't eat shellfish for 13 years. And they were like, well, you know, you've completely suppressed that allergy because it's you're not ingesting that stuff anymore. And so when I started eating it, my body had to what happens is that reaction builds up and builds up and builds up until it finally, you know, hits that tipping point and you have a histamine reaction and now you're swelling and all this other crap. So with their numbers going down, I don't really know. I'm not an allergist. But I'm gonna have to take them back to go see it, you know, another allergist again. So
you know, when Idalina was a baby when she was this was before Corlys was born, so she was less than 2 years old. They're vegetarians. They would eat eggplant and Idalina's bottom would break out terribly after she ate it. Like she get a must be the her poop was so acidic that it burned her butt. Like if you didn't get it off immediately, there'd be a problem. So the problem becomes if you have eggplant for dinner and she's gone to bed,
it's gonna sit
for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then she's got a sore bottom. So she didn't eat eggplant. Now she loves it. So it's like completely gone away. I ask her if it's burned her ass at all, and she goes, no.
Well, you could have combated that, too. I mean, you could have just slacked the whole backside with like A&D ointment or Vaseline or something.
Right.
And that would have acted as a protective layer. But I don't think any kid wants to, you know, have, you know, half a tub of Vaseline smeared on their backside.
Right. We have only had a couple of trips to the emergency room with the kids. One of them was, we're a hockey family. Wendy and I both love hockey. So we bought the twins when they were born, a little bit after they were born, not long, those little mini hockey sets. So they each had their own sticks. They had their own nets, and we would play in the kitchen. And so we're playing, and this must have been, they were 3 or 4 maybe. We're playing in the kitchen, and I'm playing along with them. I got my own stick, and we're going back and forth. A phone rang, so I jump over the gate because we had a gate close off the kitchen to go answer the phone. I was on the phone for 30 seconds to a telemarketer.
That's all it takes.
I come around the corner. As I'm walking around the corner, I hear yelling and crying. Patients got angry that Idalina had done so she cross-checked her in the forehead.
It's like my house. My son lies in wait for his little sister to, both his sisters are older than him, but he lies in wait for one of the sisters to come around the corner, and he just full-on swings like a plastic baseball bat. And he just takes them out.
Well, there's blood and there's one thing I can't handle is blood. So Wendy was at a meeting. She was doing something for work, and I knew she was about the time for her to come home anyway. And I said, I've got a compress on her, but you're going to have to take her to the hospital. She needs stitches. You can't take her? There's blood. I don't think you understand. There's blood. I don't like blood, man. That's why I don't watch those horror flicks. I don't like blood. Even if I know it's fake, it bothers me.
Yeah, speaking of horror flicks, my wife and I just rewatched the made-for-TV movie It.
It?
Because I remember it, you know, scaring the crap out of me when I was a kid.
Right.
Because
I'm going to imagine it didn't do that this time.
No. Like, I watched it and I was like, this is really quite cheesy. But Tim Curry was he was fantastic in it.
He's still scary. It's not as scary as it was, but he's still scary when he's down in that sewer.
Yeah. I mean, it's the fact that the clown, right? The clown was the embodiment of joy and laughter and happiness. That's what you think of as a kid when you think of a clown. But now all of a sudden he's ripping kids' arms off and he's like telling you that you all float down here and you taste so much better when you're afraid, and he's got fangs. He's coming up in the school shower, you know, and he's showing his fangs. He's turning into werewolves and mummies. And I was like, that scared the crap out of me when I was a kid. Because I think I was like 10 when the movie came out. Because it came out in like 89 or 90. I think I was 10. I hadn't quite turned 11 yet.
That whole premise though, like movies that scared us when we were kids, I think we should talk about this like late next month.
1990.
You know, some of the movies that scared us when we were kids, we watch now and we laugh. Like the first scene in Ghostbusters with the librarian ghost.
Oh, that was cool when we were kids.
Well, you remember, you're older than me.
Yeah.
So that when I first when I first saw that, I was 4, 5, 6 years old. That wasn't cool. That was scary.
Still the scariest movie of all time is The Wizard of Oz. Those flying monkeys are very disturbing.
I understood that reference. No. The first scene in Ghostbusters, if you're seeing that like as a 5 or 6 year old, that's either going to be like, okay, that's kind of funny, or man, that's scary. The rest of the movie I thought was great. Now it's a freaking classic, but that's besides the point. I mean, certain movies...
That's more of a Halloween thing later this month.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. We need to talk about that later. I agree.
Oh, yeah, because it is definitely scary movie season. Like, yesterday was the first day of fall, and so most people are thinking, oh, it's fall, pumpkin spice. Nope, chili. It's chili season.
It was the first day of fall, and it was 80 degrees.
Yeah. I've made pumpkin chili before.
No.
No, it's actually okay.
No.
No.
It may taste okay, and if you
it's
make it...
It's the principle of it.
It is. It's the principle... But I would still try it, though, just to say
It was a bit on the sweeter side.
I don't know. But it is coming up on... We're starting to have the yoga pants and Uggs.
Han Solo season.
Yes.
It is. And it's my favorite season of the year, especially when people wearing that uniform drop things.
It means it's the end of my summer of geology.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, this is what I wanted to talk about a little bit earlier, because we're coming up on our time already. You saw in the living room when you got here the partial remains of the longhouse.
Yes.
Our children had to make longhouses for their 4th grade classroom, the Iroquois longhouses. And, well, first of all, we had the meltdown because yours was better than ours.
Nah.
My kids had no adult help whatsoever, because I was like, yeah, I'll get the sticks for you. And then I turned around and said, hey, Eily, go get sticks for your sister.
It's called delegation.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she had a hot glue gun. I mean, there's hot glue all over this thing. It's a hot mess.
Hot mess.
And she put it on the flimsiest piece of cardboard that she could find. I'm like, you need to find a thick piece of cardboard. Well, that'd be too heavy. Well, I'm the one who has to carry it into the school. So I have to carry it, you know, very gingerly. To get it in there so it doesn't collapse on itself. I got to the school, and you've been to Roy B. Kelly. They have the upper lot, the lower lot, and then they have the circle. The circle is for the buses.
Yep.
It astounds me every single time I go to the school.
I know where this is going.
How many people go into the circle like they're NASCAR drivers to beat the buses? First of all, you're in a school zone, and you're in a parking lot, and there's kids everywhere. Why are you driving like a jerk?
Well, people still go right through the crosswalk when the crosswalk lady is out. Like, my son and wife have almost been run over in the crosswalk because some
person,
donkey type person, decided to just blow right through the crosswalk doing 40 in a school zone.
Probably going yeehaw as they go.
It just astounds me.
I don't think they were from
Texas. How many people go out of their way to
be
the
sound a donkey makes?
Yeah. to be the closest to the doors. Listen, these are elementary school kids. They can walk more than 50 feet to the classroom.
I think by now we've probably all seen the meme that says if when you drop off your kid, you have to brush their hair, pack their lunch, pack their backpack, and, you know, spend more than, I don't know, what's a good time? Spend more than, I'll say, 30 seconds letting your kid out of the car, then something is wrong.
Normally, if, like last year when I would go into the driving circle to drop the kids off, because it was perfectly fine last year once all the buses had come through.
Right.
So we would go after the buses. I'd pull into the circle. I'd put the car in park. I'd get out as I'm telling the kids to get out and get out on the passenger side. Then I would go around, open the door, marshal both of them out, give them a hug and a kiss. And then I was back in the driver's seat and I was gone. 30 seconds. Done.
Yeah, it shouldn't take longer than that.
I don't think I've ever actually used the circle with a child in my car. I always park at the top and walk them in. Today was everyone's longhouse was due today. So everybody was bringing their kids. It was a cluster of profound proportions. I'm the only person parked up in the top lot. I get down to the circle. They're three wide. And parents are arguing with each other.
Of course they are, because every one of them is right.
Meanwhile, it's 8:45, which means those buses are going to start pulling in the next 2 minutes.
And they're entitled.
Oh, yeah.
Like, seriously, you don't need to drive your kids directly to the door.
Well, it's kind of crappy when you have a Karen convention going on in the middle of the the traffic circle in front of the school.
Oh, I haven't seen you in a long time. I've seen that happen, too.
I don't care.
Get out of the way.
Get the heck out of the way. I got stuff to do.
It's not even, I have stuff to do. That's the buses.
I appreciate the fact that in Medina, at least at the elementary school and at the high school, there are dedicated drop-off lines that do not intermix with the bus loops, at least anymore. There used to be, they were the same type of thing. That's not the case anymore. At the elementary school, there's a drop-off line. You can go in, and typically there were teachers who would wait and help the kids, you know, make sure they go through the crosswalk, whatever, but it shouldn't take long. There are times where I have had to take my youngest and actually walk her in which case I'll park in a lot and then walk her in. It's not a problem. Going to the middle school, it's like, okay, I'll go into the parking lot and there's a loop there. You drop her off at the sidewalk. It is not in the bus loop. And in the high school, there's a spot where you kind of go off to the side. It doesn't interfere with the bus loop because you go one way and the buses are going the opposite way. And then you can kind of loop around. So there's three separate ways. Yeah, so there are three separate ways to drop off various aged kids at the elementary, middle, and high school in Medina, which really, really makes a lot of sense and helps out immensely. And while a lot of people complained about the cost of it, like, oh, it's going to affect our taxes, the one thing that a lot of people didn't realize is that when Medina did expand the road between the elementary, middle, and high school to make it all accessible on one road, it was probably the best thing they've done in years. So it just makes so much more sense to do it that way. But back to the whole thing, though. I mean, bringing kids into the school if they have a project or whatever. That itself is a show topic.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I tell you, it's bad at Belknap, too. You're lucky you live close enough where you can just walk home from there. Your kid can when she was there.
We still went and got her, though.
That front loop, when you're parked on the outside, which is where you should be parked of the loop, the inside lane should be for people driving. People park on both sides, and then they're complaining they can't go anywhere. Seriously? There's a big parking lot on the side of the building. Your kid can walk. Instead of blocking everybody else and being one of those jerks, just why do you have to double park and make it impossible for anybody to go anywhere?
See, we just park on one of the side streets, and then we would go to the end of the road, make a left, and walk down to the intermediate school and get our child, and then walk back over to Roy B. Kelly and get our other two.
The one that cracks me up, though, is at North Park, because they have that circle.
Yes.
And after the shows and stuff there, when they're there for practice, everybody runs to those circles. Meantime, it's not any farther to go to the parking lot on the north side of the building or the south side of the building, and they're always empty. Like, I continuously always park on the north parking lot. Because, you know what? I can get in and out. And while they're fighting for position in that circle, I'm already home.
Yeah. I generally, if I get, what I'll do is I'll get there early enough and I'll actually park in the circle, but in one of the spaces.
Right. If you're there early enough, it's not a big deal. As long as you're not double parked over there, you can get in and out.
Oh, I don't double park.
Not you. other people.
Oh, dude, I got four-wheel drive. If I got to, I'm going across the grass. Like, that ain't happening. Like, I'm sorry. That's not a thing for me. Like, if you block me in because you're a butthole, well, you're going to have to repair the lawn because I'm out of here.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't know. Maybe I'm just a butthole like that. But, nope, I don't play those silly games.
I had an issue at the high school. You don't have kids at the high school yet. But it's a one-way road through the circle there by the theater. And people don't want to wait in line, so they'll go in the wrong way to get into the back parking lot. And I've seen them coming, and I've stopped and looked at my phone like I'm doing Pokemon Go, and I'm looking around right in the middle so they have to stop and wait for me every single time I see them come the wrong way. Just because, you know, I'm a jerk.
I'm curious. Does it annoy you guys as much as it annoys me when you're in a situation like that where you're at a parking lot at a school or I guess maybe like the temple that you went to for my son's bar mitzvah, the same type of thing? The signs are up in multiple locations. One way. Do not enter. And so
I almost screwed that up leaving the temple the other night. I started going the way to go out to Sheridan. And mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. This is one way. And I turned around and...
Thank you. Exactly. At least you respected that. I've seen congregants come in opposite of the one way. It's like, I don't care that you're coming down the side road and it's easier to get in that way. It's an exit only. And you've got multiple people leaving this way. Can you respect the one way?
I loved being able to leave out onto North Forest because we just drove all the way out to Millersport.
That's what I do when I go home. I take North Forest to Millersport, and it's easy. It's right. The best way to go. But there are times when I'm like, on Sundays, I'm like, all right, I'm going to do some shopping. I'll leave. I'll make a left, and I got to wait for the traffic to stop on Sheridan so I can either make a left to go back on Sheridan, which means I got to cross two lanes of traffic. A lot of times, I'll just make a right and say the heck with it, and I'll go wherever I want to go. But people who disobey one-way signs when they're up and they've been up for years.
And they're just, for your own safety.
Right. It sounds like it annoys you guys to varying degrees, but that we're all on the same page. Like, that is the most egregious of driving offenses in everyday life. There are many worse ones, but in everyday life, those are the ones that people seem to break the most in and seem to think, well, I'm only going for, you know, a few blocks.
Exactly. Or the people who park in the fire lane at Walmart and then leave their car parked there and walk in the store. I'm like, really?
That annoys me too.
That should reflect on their credit report. I mean,
I see it every single time I go out there, there's somebody parked in the fire lane and nobody in the vehicle.
That's unacceptable.
Now, when we go to the schools for the various events, at the high school, I park in the front circle, which is the furthest away from the doors we're supposed to enter for what we're doing. It doesn't hurt us to walk. So it's what we do. And there's nobody around us. So we don't have to worry about anyone banging into our car or anything because we're all the way over there. When we go to Emmett Belknap, we park in the back, all the way in the back over by, I think it's Grant Street over there. Rather than there's a little roadway there. I can't remember the name of the roadway, but all the way back by Grant. Nobody parks over there. We just walk up there. And when we go to North Park, I park in that north parking lot, north side parking lot, normally facing the blue water tower that should be, and I'm going to promote it here right now, Lockport should paint it to look like R2-D2.
I don't even live here, but I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. So I park facing the R2-D2 water tower.
Yeah.
Because I can get in and get out. When I can leave that parking lot, I can make a left and go past the circle, and everyone's going to have to wait for me coming out, which doesn't always happen. There could be oncoming traffic, and they don't care. They're getting out of that circle. Or I can make the right and come back around the back way, and it's just as quick that way, too. So, I mean, I'm in the perfect spot. I try to think ahead of the game so that I'm not stuck in traffic. I hate being stuck in traffic.
That's like going to a fast food or coffee shop drive-thru. Is the drive-thru line more than X amount of cars? What time of day is it? What are people likely ordering? If it's like several cars, get out, walk in, because as you go to the drive-thru line, chances are you can see what the line is like.
I always go inside, even when I'm ordering takeout.
Dude, it's like Tim Hortons on Beatty. Dude, never. I don't ever go through the drive-thru there because it's usually 10 to 20 cars long on average. All the way up through like 2 o'clock. Like, that place is packed.
You're talking the one that's over by Route 93?
Yeah, yes. 93 and Beatty. Like, that is, that one, the drive through there is atrocious. Not because the servers on the inside, it's just because the line is ridiculously long.
On Sunday mornings at about 8:30, it's pretty quick.
That one?
Yeah, I've used that one.
I typically never, ever, ever use the drive through. I always go inside, even when it's takeout, because that way I know, because I order them differently than what they are on the menu. Because first of all, you're guaranteed they're fresh.
Right.
And secondly, they'll screw it up. Every single time I've gone through the drive-thru, they've screwed it up. So if I'm standing there talking to them and I say, no pickles, no tomatoes, or whatever, I know I'm getting it.
You don't hear it.
Am I at Darien Lake?
Exactly. All right.
We'll wrap it up for today.
I think so.
That's episode 19 of the Dads Must Be Crazy. We're back at dance, too, by the way. It's fantastic. We're there, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Sunday.
Well, we're in karate, and we're generally there Monday, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays is generally when we're at karate.
We were there last night. Corlise did not get ready in time. She had a little bit of a meltdown, which you probably heard about because I know she called your daughter.
She wound up talking to my wife, actually, okay. Because Morgan was behind on her coursework for algebra, and so she wasn't allowed on the phone. She was busy playing catch up.
I know she was talking to somebody.
She was talking to Amanda, and I was like, I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, she had a meltdown.
I was busy helping Morgan with her algebra.
Basically, so. She had an outburst that included some colorful language that no children should ever say.
At the dojo?
No, here.
Oh, okay.
Because we were concerned about that. Well, she had some language that was much more colorful than should ever be allowed by any child. And I go, Corlise, you got to stop that. Corlise, I gave her multiple warnings. And I go, listen, give me the phone. We're done. I'm tired of the language. And she lost her mind. You don't yell at anybody else. Nobody else is swearing. Well, she's picking on me. Understandable that she's picking on you. She's your sister. It's going to happen. You have to have a better way of handling it.
And think about it. You're in karate.
Yeah, she can. Well, I don't want to tell her that.
No. But she's going to figure that out after doing it for about a year or two. She's going to be like, hey, you may be bigger than me, but guess what? That's why all three of mine are in there, because now they all three have to think, crap, we all know the same stuff.
And you know what? Corlise isn't much smaller than the twins. There's only 2 years, 22 months between them, and the twins were twins, so they're a little smaller. And Corlise was a singleton, so.
Yeah, she's close in size to the twins. She's closer to.
Patience is a little bit shorter than Idalina.
Yeah, but Eileen's not doesn't have the weight that Patience has, because is.
Idalina's a lot like Josephine, muscle.
Yeah.
It's called crazy. So anyway, if you need dance lessons, and they do have an adult dance class on Wednesday nights that I would love to do, but they keep telling me no.
I thought you were going to take that class.
I was going to, but they keep telling me no.
Why?
I think that he's just afraid of my awesomeness.
Oh, okay.
That's like, you know, they asked me to be a body double for Chris Hemsworth in Thor Ragnarok. I had to say no.
For good reason.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't want to make him look bad.
I almost kicked myself and said Endgame, but I had to change what I was about to say.
All right. All right, for Howie and Bobby, I'm Craig. Thanks for listening to the Dads Must Be Crazy. Join us again next week with another all-new episode. When you have kids, you often find yourself involved with lots of extracurricular activities. In my house, we go to dance. All four of my daughters have gone to Classical Ballet of Western New York. With two locations, Main Street in Clarence and Main Street in beautiful downtown Lockport, Classical Ballet of Western New York is a fun way for your children to learn the fine art of dance. This school provides an extensive ballet education for its students. Classical Ballet of Western New York is a cultural institution aiming to enhance the lives of the youths of the community. They strive to develop its students physically, intellectually, culturally, emotionally, and socially through the discipline of dance. Classes start in September with performances of the Nutcracker in December and a single recital for each studio in June. There are also summer workshops available. Call 631-1582 for more information, or visit them on the web at www.classicalballetofwny.com. Simply click the link at the bottom of our page and you'll be there without all that typing. Our family literally visits these studios 6 days a week, and we've made many new friends while sitting in the waiting room while our kids dance. So if there's a kid in your family who loves dance, from your 3 or 4 year old all the way through high school, boys or girls, check out Classical Ballet of Western New York at 58 Main Street in Lockport or 8180 Main Street in Clarence, and tell them the dad sent you. The Dads Must Be Crazy would like to thank Scott Leffler for putting together our awesome intro to the show. And thank you to Amanda Hodge, who helps us with our designs and logos. Intro and outro music provided by Incomtech.com. Our theme music is Retro Future Clean by Kevin McLeod, licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license.